This is Morocco, a country that generally looks pretty normal on most world maps until you zoom in way closer on the country's north coast, where you'll notice these two weird little enclaves that aren't actually a part of Morocco, but are pockets of Spain and the European Union instead. These two pockets are known as Ceuta and Melilla, respectively. They are the only two pockets of European-controlled territory that still remain on the African continent today, making up the European Union's only physical land borders in Africa. And they are way, way, way more controversial and contentious than you probably know. Combined, the two territories are geographically small at only about 31 square kilometers, about the same size as the special administrative region of Macau in China. But, like Macau, they are very densely populated, with Ceuta having an estimated population of about 85,000 people and Melilla having one of about 86,000 people today. They together have more than 171,000 people between them, who are all citizens of both Spain and the EU, despite living on a continent that is distinctly not Europe and only sharing a border with Morocco. Life in both cities, for the most part, feels very Spanish and European. The architecture, culture, food, and spoken language all seem pretty much the same as most anywhere else in southern Spain does. Until you get out to their edges and you encounter their gigantic border walls that physically isolate them from Morocco and the rest of Africa. Stretching across their entire land borders with Morocco, the walls consist of parallel double fences that soar 6 meters or 20 feet high, that historically have been topped with barbed wire, complete with regular guard towers and patrols of thousands of Spanish border guards. Beneath the ground, a vast network of cables connect floodlights, motion and noise sensors, and 24-hour video cameras to a central command station, while dozens of Spanish Coast Guard vessels constantly patrol the coasts. A large, coordinated, and complicated system that is explicitly designed to keep people out of them from the other side in Africa. The walls effectively make both Ceuta and Melilla isolated islands of the EU and Spain in Africa. And if you look more closely at their borders in Google Maps, you'll notice that they both appear as dashed, which symbolizes them as being disputed, because Morocco claims both of them in their entirety and has disputed their ownership with Spain for decades now. On the surface of it, you might be more inclined to side with Morocco's stance on the dispute. Morocco asserts that these two cities are the final living remnants of European colonialism in Africa today, and that they therefore should be surrendered to them, while Spain asserts that they are both core integral territories of Spain, just as much as anywhere else in the Spanish and European mainland are. And caught in between the crossfire of this geopolitical dispute over the past several years have been thousands of migrants from all around the world who have been treated by both sides as effectively sacrificial, disposable pawns in their own great game, which has led to hundreds of deaths at these heavily fortified borders over just the past few years that have made them not only the deadliest borders anywhere in the EU, but among the most blood-soaked borders anywhere on the Earth during the entire 21st century. And yet, somehow, these disputed and deadly borders at the frontiers of Europe and Africa have attracted very little international attention. And if you'd like to understand what's going on here today, like I did when I first heard about them, you need to understand the history that got us here to this strange point today. Ceuta, in particular, is one of the two key strategic locations to control along with Gibraltar in order to dominate access through the nearby narrow Strait of Gibraltar, the only natural passageway between the Mediterranean and the Atlantic. Ceuta is a winding, narrow peninsula that juts out from the African mainland, which also makes it a highly defensible position from the rest of Africa. In the 8th century AD, Ceuta was used as the launch pad for the Muslim conquest of the Iberian Peninsula that would last for the next 800 years. During the Reconquista, when the Christian kingdoms of Iberia were pushing the Muslims out, the Portuguese advanced across the Strait of Gibraltar to seize and conquer Ceuta in 1415. Marking the very start of modern European expansion into Africa that would reach its apex centuries later when nearly the entire continent would be conquered. Decades later, the final Muslim stronghold in Iberia at Granada was conquered by the Spanish in 1492, and then a few years later in 1497, seeking to establish a forward defensive outpost to keep the Strait of Gibraltar secure and to prevent Muslim powers in North Africa from regrouping, the Spanish sailed across the Mediterranean and conquered their own exclave around Melilla. Then about a century later, between 1580 and 1640, Portugal and Spain entered into the Iberian Union together, during which Ceuta ostensibly remained a part of Portugal but was subordinated under Spanish leadership. Across this time period, Ceuta attracted a lot of new residents of Spanish origin. So by the time when the Iberian Union collapsed in 1640, Ceuta had become more demographically Spanish than it had been Portuguese. And so it became the only Portuguese territory that sided with Spain in the aftermath. In 1668, Portugal finally formally recognized the allegiance of Ceuta to Spain and agreed to cede the city to the Spanish through the 1668 Treaty of Lisbon. For centuries, both Ceuta and Melilla were generally treated by the Spanish as frontier military forts and/or penal colonies, posts to defend the Spanish mainland from Barbary, piracy, and possible attacks coming from North Africa, and also dumping grounds for Spain's most undesirable prisoners and outcasts to remove them away from the mainland. For centuries, the Arabs and the Berbers in North Africa also attempted to reconquer both Ceuta and Melilla through multiple sieges, including the longest continuous siege of a city in all of history when Ceuta was placed under siege for 33 straight years between 1694 and 1727, though none were ever actually successful in driving the Spanish out. Much later, in 1859, further disagreements over the borders between Ceuta and Melilla and the Kingdom of Morocco led to a devastating war that resulted in thousands of deaths and ended in a decisive Spanish military victory, which was enough to force Morocco into signing the Treaty of Wadras in 1860, that for the first time extended Morocco's formal recognition of Spain's sovereignty over both Ceuta and Melilla, and set their current borders as we know them today. As the European scramble for Africa continued across the late 19th and early 20th centuries, Morocco eventually yielded to the unbearable colonial pressures that were being placed upon it in 1912, when it agreed, under duress, to become divided between a new French protectorate and a new, smaller Spanish protectorate. These two protectorates placed over Morocco and Spain's previously acquired territories in Ceuta and Melilla were never co-mingled together. They never became a part of Spain's colonial protectorate in Morocco, and were always considered by the Spanish to be separate, integral territories of Spain itself. Decades later, in 1956, when the protectorate was dissolved and Morocco regained their independence from both France and Spain again, Spain continued holding onto its control over both Ceuta and Melilla, based on their argument that they had never been a part of the Moroccan protectorate and that they had been directly controlled by Spain for centuries, well before the 19th century era of European colonialism in Africa had even begun. Spain argued, and continues to argue, that Ceuta and Melilla are not the results of European colonialism in Africa, but are instead historically integral territories of Spain that have been a part of the country for about the same length of time as cities like Granada have been on the Spanish mainland for more than a half millennium now. Morocco, on the other hand, immediately disagreed with this position after their 1956 independence. And despite previous treaties they had agreed to with Spain that recognized Spanish sovereignty over them, like the 1860 Treaty of Wadras, the modern post-independent state of Morocco insisted and continues to insist that both Ceuta and Melilla are actually products of European colonialism in Africa. And based on that, Morocco has insisted that Spain's continued control over them is illegitimate today. Morocco has instead maintained their own territorial claims to both of them, and has for decades now demanded that Spain fully cede and transfer them both over, which Spain has kept on refusing to do, the gist of the modern territorial dispute between them that continues to this day. I think it's also rather interesting to point out here that Spain basically maintains opposite, hypocritical legal arguments for why they should be able to maintain Ceuta and Melilla, but also why the UK should return Gibraltar back to them. On the opposite side of the strait from Ceuta, the British conquered Gibraltar from Spain centuries ago back in 1704, and have controlled it ever since. Spain currently argues that the continued presence of the British in Gibraltar is an illegitimate legacy of British imperialism that interrupts with their own territorial contiguity, and therefore that the UK should return the territory back to Spain again, Well, Brennan insists that the territory is an integral part of the UK that has been British for centuries now, and that almost everybody who lives there are British citizens who have no desire to join with Spain. Which is all, basically, an exact mirror of Spain and Morocco's disputes on the other side of the strait over Ceuta and Melilla in North Africa. In both instances, Spain takes precisely opposite legal arguments whenever it conveniently benefits them more, which I thought was a silly but worthy tangent to throw in here. As it's proven over the decades, however, Spain's continued control over Ceuta and Melilla have never ended up becoming as controversial as other contentious borders drawn up by Europeans in the Arab world did, like French Algeria or Israel. Their control over these cities doesn't really harm Spanish relations with anybody else in the greater Arab world beyond Morocco. While Spain could never conceivably agree to just give up these territories to Morocco, where roughly 170,000 of their own citizens currently live. The people of both cities, shown in poll after poll over the years, overwhelmingly would rather remain a part of Spain and the EU, and all of the benefits that entails, rather than becoming a part of Morocco. Under most international conventions, transferring over the cities to Moroccan control would require hosting a referendum in them, which, as you can imagine, would never possibly be successful right now. And Morocco also knows full and well that an outright invasion of the territories would spark a massive international crisis that would almost certainly lose as well. While neither Ceuta nor Melilla are considered to be legally under NATO's protection since they're physically located beyond Europe, Spain itself is very capable of defending them all on their own. Ceuta, in particular, is only located 17 kilometers away from the Spanish mainland, and is located relatively nearby to the primary Spanish naval base at Rota, as well as the Spanish Air Force's key air base at Morón. Spain can very easily and very effectively project naval and air power into both Ceuta and Melilla to defend them if need be. And with a military budget well more than double the size of Morocco's and the likely backing of the rest of the EU, Morocco knows that they would be hopelessly outclassed if they ever attempted to take the cities through force. Which is why they've never tried to do that, and why they've resorted to covert, hybrid warfare operations against them instead. Initially, upon Morocco's independence, Spain granted Moroccans the right to travel back and forth between Melilla and Ceuta for work and travel relatively freely, and the issue of Morocco's claim to both of the territories more or less faded away into the background of international affairs until the 1990s, when Spain joined the EU and then the Schengen area, which enabled passport-free travel between them. After neighboring Algeria collapsed into a devastating civil war throughout the 1990s around the same time, a new surge of migration began of refugees fleeing that war across the border towards Melilla, which at only 70 kilometers away from the Algerian border was easily the closest EU territory to the country and the easiest pathway for refugees to take into the rest of Europe through the Schengen area. Spain then quickly began receiving pressure from Brussels to cut down on the flows of migrants that were entering into the EU through Melilla. And so, beginning in 1996, Spain started the construction of what was initially a 3-meter-high chain-link double fence across just 7 miles of the Melilla border. By 1998, the first phase of the modern wall around the exclaves was finished. But because of Melilla's rough, hilly topography, the fence wasn't constructed along the exactly agreed-upon border with Morocco. Instead, it was constructed along an approximation of the border, meaning that in a few instances, some of the Spanish residents of Melilla in the 90s suddenly found their homes on the wrong side of the fence, facing towards Morocco exposed. Since then, as the pace of migration into Ceuta and Melilla from sub-Saharan Africa and the Middle East has increased, as the pathways into the EU they represent have become more desirable, especially as a way to avoid the much more dangerous way of crossing over the Mediterranean Sea, the Spanish authorities have increasingly added to the wall's sophistications to make Ceuta and Melilla increasingly more difficult fortresses to reach for anyone from beyond the EU. By 2005, the fence's height around both Melilla and Ceuta was doubled up to 6 meters, and it was finally expanded to fully envelop the entire length of their borders. By 2014, anti-climb mesh was installed and parts of the wall were topped off with barbed wire. While by 2020, parts of the wall's heights were further increased up to 9 meters. And throughout it all, as the wall's complexities evolved, the violence and tragedies experienced along them continued escalating as well. Tensions between Spain and Morocco over these disputed territories really began escalating in 2002, when a group of armed Moroccan soldiers occupying this small, uninhabited island nearby to Ceuta that is similarly under Spanish sovereignty but disputed by Morocco. The Moroccan soldiers hoisted a Moroccan flag on the island, which was noticed by a passing Spanish Coast Guard vessel on its routine patrol. The Spaniards landed on the island and were confronted by the Moroccans, who forced them back onto their boat at gunpoint after what was reportedly a heated argument. Over the next few days, the Moroccan soldiers on the island built up a fixed base on it, while the Spanish government warned that it would not accept a Moroccan fait accompli, taking control over the island. Spain sent in naval reinforcements to Ceuta, and a week after the Moroccans occupied the island, Spain launched a large military operation codenamed Romeo Sierra to evict them and retake it. Four Eurocopter Cougar helicopters departed from the Spanish mainland early in the morning and landed dozens of Spanish special forces on the occupied island, while Spanish F-18 and Mirage F-1 fighters flew overhead to provide aerial cover just in case the Moroccan Air Force attempted to interfere. The special forces were under direct orders to do their best to achieve the recapture of the island with zero casualties, but they were still well-armed and permitted to use lethal force if they were fired upon by the Moroccans first. In the end, though, the Moroccan soldiers on the island offered up almost no resistance and rapidly surrendered. They were all taken prisoner and returned back to Morocco, and the Spanish retook control over the island without a shot having to be fired. The whole incident showed that military clashes between the Moroccans and the Spanish over these disputed territories were still possible even in the 21st century. Since then, the Moroccans haven't attempted to occupy the island again, but the Moroccan government has also continued to maintain its claim to it as well. And meanwhile, as the pace of migration into both Ceuta and Melilla from across sub-Saharan Africa and the Middle East through Morocco continued growing in scale, and while Spain and Morocco's ownership dispute over them also continued, the borders around them began growing increasingly deadly, as Morocco began calculating on a hybrid warfare strategy of allowing migrants to pass through their territory in order to apply pressure on the territories they wanted, while Spain continued facing pressure from Brussels to restrict the entry of migrants at the frontiers as much as physically possible. Across just 3 months in 2005, between August and October, Amnesty International reported that 13 migrants died at the borders of Ceuta and Melilla at the hands of Moroccan and Spanish border police. Waiting to build up their numbers into a critical mass, groups of desperate migrants would organize in Morocco just outside of the border wall and then rush it together in numbers as large as dozens to hundreds at a time in their bid to get into the EU and a chance to apply for asylum or refugee status. Across the deadly incidents in 2005, these migrants would often find themselves caught in between the live ammunition being fired by the Moroccan border security and the rubber bullets and tear gas being fired by the Spanish border security. While Spain has consistently claimed that none of their own border guards at either Ceuta or Melilla carry live firearms, Amnesty International reported the testimony of one of these migrants during the deadly 2005 incidents that it deemed was credible, in which he claimed to have been shot and severely injured by a live bullet that was fired by a Spanish border guard. During another notable incident in 2006, three migrants were killed while attempting to cross over the border wall into Melilla on just a single day, one reportedly from gunshot wounds and two more when they fell from the top of the wall. Then in 2007, the status of Ceuta and Melilla triggered another diplomatic crisis between Spain and Morocco, when the Spanish king, Juan Carlos I, decided to physically visit both of them. Morocco reacted to the visit very negatively, recalling their ambassador to Spain in protest while the Moroccan prime minister attempted to even compare Spain's control of Ceuta and Melilla with the Israeli occupations of the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. Though this particular crisis petered out after only about a month, it remained a clear example that the contested history and claims over Ceuta and Melilla between Morocco and Spain still remained ever present, even in the modern era. And then a few years later, in 2014, came what would become, up until that point, the deadliest tragedy at the border walls for the migrants from elsewhere getting caught up between their history. In February of that year, a large group of approximately 200 migrants, refugees, and asylum seekers from sub-Saharan Africa attempted to swim around the border wall of Ceuta in the cover of darkness and night. Spanish border guards then discovered them as they began approaching the coast on the other side of the wall, and then began opening fire on the swimmers with rubber bullets and tear gas in an attempt to drive them away. The Spanish government would initially try and deny that this had happened, but surveillance footage released later undeniably showed it taking place. The rubber bullets and tear gas fired into the massive swimmers significantly impaired their ability to swim, which contributed to 15 of them tragically drowning that night. The largest loss of life during a single crossing attempt up until that point. And while the Spanish government subsequently announced an investigation into the incident, it was conducted by the Ceuta border guards themselves. And the case was ultimately dropped without charging any of their own officers as being responsible for the deaths. An outcome that has been hotly criticized by NGOs like Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International ever since. In the aftermath of this incident, the Spanish government banned their guards in both Ceuta and Melilla from using rubber bullets anymore, while Morocco agreed to cooperate further with the Spanish authorities on restricting the flow of migrants up to their borders in the first place, in exchange for 346 million euros paid to them by the EU over the next 6 years until 2020. For several years after, the scale of tragedy taking place at the borders decreased. While Morocco and Spain's cooperation on migration caused the geopolitical dispute over Ceuta and Melilla's ownership to fade back into the background. But then as the COVID-19 pandemic struck the world in 2020, the simmering conflict exploded back into the open again. For the first time since Morocco became an independent country in 1956, the Spanish ceased allowing Moroccan citizens easy access across the borders of Ceuta and Melilla in the wake of the pandemic. A privilege that is to date, 6 years later, still never been restored, frustrating Morocco's stance on the issue further. The EU also agreed to pay Morocco more than 500 million additional euros in 2020 to continue their cooperation on migration flows leading into Ceuta and Melilla for the next 7 years through the end of 2027. But then, in 2021, began the biggest crisis between Spain and Morocco over their ownership status since the 19th century. The crisis began in April of 2021, when Spain welcomed Brahim Ghali, the president of the Sahrawi Arab Democratic Republic, into the country for medical treatment, which was massively controversial in Morocco. The Sahrawi Arab Democratic Republic is claimed to be the rightful government of the Western Sahara Territory since Spain renounced its separate colonial administration in the territory there in the mid-1970s. Almost immediately after Spain withdrew from Western Sahara, Morocco invaded the territory and claimed it all for themselves. The indigenous Sahrawi people who lived in Western Sahara rejected this, declared the Sahrawi Arab Democratic Republic to attempt and govern Western Sahara instead, and have gone on to fight a decades-long bloody insurgency against the Moroccans that continues to this day, and has resulted in tens of thousands of deaths. By the 1990s, the Moroccans had established de facto control over about 70% of Western Sahara's territory, including all of the most populous cities, and had pushed the Sahrawi forces out into the remaining 30% of the territory that is mostly empty deserts and into neighboring Mauritania and Algeria. Morocco then constructed a vast network of ditches, walls, and minefields across the de facto frontier to keep the Sahrawi forces and people out of the Western Sahara, while sporadic attacks by the Sahrawis along the wall has continued for decades. Since then, Morocco has continually maintained their claim to all of Western Sahara and has put forward a plan to govern the territory as an autonomous region of the country, while the Sahrawi Arab Democratic Republic has continually rejected this and still asserts that it alone is the rightful government of the Sahrawi people and their homeland in Western Sahara. So, when Spain admitted the Sahrawi's leader into the country for medical treatment in April of 2021, Morocco interpreted it as a Spanish endorsement of the Sahrawi cause and an attack on what they viewed as their territorial integrity in Western Sahara. So, Morocco decided to respond to this by weaponizing the migration issue in Ceuta and Melilla again, in order to apply pressure on Spain to make them change their course. Moroccan border guards were ordered to stand down at the borders and welcome anybody who wanted to cross towards the Spanish territories freely. Then over the course of just a single day, nearly 8,000 migrants managed to cross the border from Morocco into Ceuta, nearly 10% of the entire population of Ceuta itself. As the Moroccan border guards who were supposed to be cooperating with the Spanish simply stood aside and encouraged them to do so. The sudden arrival of this many people into Ceuta all at once immediately triggered an enormous humanitarian crisis for the Spanish, who simply couldn't manage it with their limited resources. The Spanish authorities responded by immediately deporting most of the thousands who had crossed over back into Morocco again. In a pretty clear violation of Spanish and EU law that the Spanish Supreme Court would later rule was illegal, especially relating to the estimated nearly 1,500 children who took part and were deported back into Morocco as well. Morocco's tactic of pressuring Spain with migration to these territories would also ultimately prove to be very effective. Less than a year later, in March of 2022, Spain, in an attempt to ease their spiraling tensions with Morocco and to re-secure their cooperation on the migration issue again, agreed for the very first time to recognize Morocco's plan for Western Sahara as an autonomous province under Moroccan sovereignty, in effect extending Spain's recognition of Morocco's territorial claim to Western Sahara for the first time as well, which reversed Spain's previous decades-long stance that it supported a UN-sponsored referendum on self-determination for the Sahrawi people instead. Morocco, of course, ecstatically welcomed Spain's change in policy towards the Western Sahara issue, and immediately promised that they would return right back to strictly enforcing the flow of migration into Ciudad Melilla again in gratitude. All of which set the stage for what would soon become, by far, the deadliest single incident at the border walls of these two exclaves in their entire history. Just a few months later, in June of 2022, nearly 1,700 people, most of whom were refugees and asylum seekers from Sudan and South Sudan, gathered together just outside of the border wall surrounding Melilla. The local Moroccan authorities had banned their locals from selling them any food or providing them with any taxi services, and were increasingly cracking down on them with arrests. Fearing that they couldn't stay in Morocco any longer, and also believing that the Moroccan authorities were still going to be as lenient on the border into Melilla as they had been just a few months previously, the group decided that their best chance at achieving asylum was to collectively storm the Melilla border wall together and overwhelm it through sheer numbers. So at about 8 a.m. on the 24th of June of 2022, they began climbing a section of the wall that they knew had been abandoned during the pandemic. Hundreds of people managed to successfully get over the first wall and into a holding yard in between there and the second wall on the Moroccan side of the checkpoint. On the other side of the holding yard was a locked metal gate that led directly into Spain, which they attempted to break through using a power saw that was brought along. As more and more of them entered into this central holding yard, the Moroccan police formed a perimeter around it on their side and began aggressively firing rubber bullets and tear gas at them. According to later independent investigations by Lighthouse reports, at least 20 tear gas canisters were fired into the crowded central courtyard where hundreds of the migrants had gathered. After the gate into Spain was finally forced open, a stampede to escape from the tear gas and the rubber bullets began through it that caused a brutal crowd crush as dozens of people were pushed to the ground and trampled. While footage released later showed survivors being ruthlessly beaten by the Moroccan police with batons as they laid on the ground without even resisting. The official Spanish report into the incident would later conclude that a minimum of 37 of the migrants died due to the crowd crush at the border. While Amnesty International's separate report concluded that a further 77 of the migrants still remained missing and unaccounted for. Nearly 4 years after the incident now, as of this video's production, all 77 of them continue to remain missing, implying that they likely died as a result of the crowd crush as well, and were quietly buried in mass graves somewhere on the Moroccan side of the border unknown. Because of this, it's likely that the true number of people who died that day attempting to cross the border into Melilla was more like 114. By far the highest number ever recorded during a single incident and more than previous entire decades worth of deaths at the border all combined. All of which gave the incident its now infamous nickname, the Melilla Massacre. Out of the 1,700 people who rushed the border wall that day, in addition to the likely 114 of them who were killed, 603 others managed to make it over to the other side in Spain, 470 of whom were immediately deported back into Morocco and shipped off on Moroccan buses all across the country, and only 133 of whom were able to stay and safely claim asylum in Europe. The Spanish government has officially claimed that none of the 114 people who died in the crush did so on Spanish territory, which is a blatant non-truth. The Spanish Land Registry record shows that more than 13,000 square meters of land in the holding yard, including the section of the wall where the door was opened up that triggered the crush, belonged to the Spanish state. Nonetheless, by asserting that none of the deaths took place on Spanish territory, Spain and the EU have both effectively taken the stance that the tragedy that took place that day wasn't actually their problem. Part of why the violence dealt out to the migrants that day from the Moroccan side was so severe was because of the Moroccan government's willingness to show that they would take hard action to control migration in order to maintain Spain's recognition for their autonomy plan in Western Sahara that they had just gained from them a few months previously. With Morocco still officially claiming the territories as their own, Spain's unwillingness to ever surrender them, and Morocco's double game of restricting migrants into them so long as they're being paid, and Spain maintains the recognition of Western Sahara, while also opening up the flow of migration whenever Spain stops paying them or does something to piss them off, the thousands of migrants who keep getting caught in the middle of their game, who are treated as nothing but disposable pawns, will continue being the biggest victims of what at first might have just seemed like a curious geography quirk, but in reality is a very serious and deadly situation down on the ground. Now, I also want to stress that Morocco and Spain are, of course, known for a lot of other things besides this current conflict, and their food culture has absolutely got to be one of the top things. From smoky Spanish rice with shrimp to tapas with beef albondigas and chimichurri butter ribeye, you can get everything you need to cook delicious, home-cooked meals from Spain or anywhere else just like these delivered right to your doorstep through this video's sponsor, HelloFresh. The concept of HelloFresh is pretty straightforward. You just visit their app or website and select which meals you want to eat, and then the next week, an insulated box will show up on your doorstep filled with all of the fresh, pre-portioned, and partially prepared ingredients you need so that you can home cook your meals way faster than if you had wasted a bunch of time planning your meals out, going to the grocery store and picking out ingredients, and then coming home and prepping. You can also choose from a variety of menu options to suit all your needs and tastes. From thin and wholesome to quick and easy, vegetarian to family-friendly, there's something for everyone to enjoy. And HelloFresh knows that your plans might change and life can get unexpectedly busy. That's why they let you easily customize your delivery from week to week as well, allowing you to tailor everything to your own schedule by adjusting your delivery date or skipping a week whenever you're not able to cook at home. And best of all, the meals themselves just taste really, really good too. That's the biggest reason of all that I've been a loyal customer myself to HelloFresh for years now, and why I've been making meals like this amazing buffalo spiced chicken for more than 4 years now. They're just the best solution that I've ever found for having regular home-cooked dinners. And if you want to see if I'm right and improve the way that you eat too, now's a great time to do so because when you click the button here on your screen right now or follow the link that's down below in the description and use my code REALLIFELOREFM at HelloFresh.com, you'll get 10 free meals plus free shipping. Free meals apply as discount on first box, new or returning subscribers only, varies by plan. So make sure to sign up today, and once again, click the link below or use my code REALLIFELOREFM at HelloFresh.com to do so. It's a great way to help support my channel and get some delicious food at the same time. And as always, thank you so much for watching.